Now here arises a tremendous amount of psychology. What is the relationship between will, knowledge and will? You know, in our ordinary life you will find, in our human consciousness, there is one portion which is portion of knowledge, there is one portion which is the portion of will force. Now this distinction you find very easily when you have a question, very deliberate question, what should I do in a given situation? Whenever you have a question, what should I do, you will immediately find out that there is in you a will force which is backed by some kind of knowledge, maybe full knowledge, maybe partial knowledge, maybe small knowledge. But always there is some knowledge and there is a tussle between the two. Sometimes you know what is to be done. A patient of diabetes knows that he should not take sugar. He knows it. There is a knowledge given to him. He should not take sugar. But the desire, the will to take sugar sometimes is very great. The temptation to take sugar is very great. So the will force is to take sugar. The knowledge says, don't take sugar. The will force says, oh, doesn't matter. Once in a while you can take it and enjoy it. And then once in a while becomes more frequent because the will force is weakened. The more you indulge in it, the more you want it. There is always some kind of an equation or inequation between knowledge and will force. So there is, you might say, in the Vedic terms, a great deal of equation or inequation between cow and the horse. So if you read in a very ordinary manner, you will say that these rishis were only watching horses and cows and seeing how many horses and how many cows, and they are discussing the battles between the two, horses and cows. That is how many people who read the Veda, they said that Vedas are written by barbarians, primitive people who were interested in cows and horses. But when you read in the depth, you find there is a tremendous psychological knowledge. They knew what is light and what is will force and what is the relationship between the two. Not only that, they found out that if you want to increase the force of light, if you want the cows more so that the horses may become more powerful, because they found that the greater the number of cows with you, the greater the power of horse. In other words, the greater the knowledge, the greater is the power of the will force. If your knowledge increases truly, then the will force also becomes powerful. How to do that? Is there any power, any God, who controls the power of cows? Cow in Sanskrit means go. That is, the go is the word for cow. So the question was, is there anybody who can be called Gomat? Mat means having one. Vala. Govala. Gopal. Is there anybody who is a real Gopal, who is the preserver, controller of the cows? Now they made a lot of research in this. And they found that there is one God called, whom they call Indra. This is another algebraic term. Indra. Indra is another term in the Veda. You often found that when Vritra came in your path, Vritra, I told you, is the one who obstructs. They found that particularly when Vritra comes in your path, then the one force which can destroy the Vritra is a good equation between go and Ashwa, the horse and the cow. And the one who commands this is Indra. So Indra is called Gomat. He is the one who has power over the cows, over the light. This is the secret knowledge of the Veda. If you really want to fight against the Vritra, then take the help of Indra. Then how to take the help of Indra? In the Veda, there are verses written down that if you recite those mantras, then Indra will manifest. This was also a great discovery. What is the method of approaching Indra? Just as if you want to go to the office of a joint secretary, and if you know his name, then you can more easily go into his office. If you simply say, I want a joint secretary, and without a name, then there are so many joint secretaries in the ministry. But if you know his name, it is much more easy for you to enter. And if you know about him much more, then much more easily you can go to him. Identification becomes much more easy. So here also in the Veda, they found out that if you know that Indra is the name of that who has a command over cows and horses, then it is easier for you to approach him. So there are mantras, there are verses in the Veda, which if recited, will give you an access to Indra. There are some of the verses that Sri Aurobindo has translated in the Secret of the Veda, which sometime you should read. They are very, very powerful verses, and Sri Aurobindo has explained them also quite well. And Sri Aurobindo said, Indra represents, it's an algebraic name, and Indra means illumined intelligence. This is the meaning. Wherever the word Indra comes, it is to be understood, it is equivalent to illumined intelligence. Now Sri Aurobindo had to find out with a great effort, it is not an easy thing to find out algebraic meanings. Only when you read thoroughly and when you have yourself experienced, there is a very fine sentence in the Veda itself given, that all the words which are important in the Veda are secret words. Ninya vachansi, that is the Sanskrit expression. Secret words. Vachansi means words. Ninya, which are secret. There are secret words, but kavaye nivachane, but they reveal themselves before the Rishi. Because he has the experience, he himself has a key, he has a knowledge of the Indra. Therefore, the moment Indra word comes up, the Rishi will understand Indra stands for illumined intelligence. This is how Sri Aurobindo found out, not only about Indra, but about all the gods which are written in the Veda. All the names of gods in the Veda are all algebraic terms. So you do not understand normally what are they. It is only when you understand from inward experience that you can discover their meanings.